This is Jonja.net. This time we have former Mystery Science Theater 3000 and current cinematic Titanic star, Frank Conniff. Frank, thanks for giving us your time.
My pleasure.
Hey, before we get into anything else, I read your blog. For those who are listening, I will post the link along with this interview. And I checked out the Oscar.
Oh, did you?
I did.
Great. That makes me very happy.
And that was actually, I have to agree, that is probably the best bad movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's my favorite bad movie, and I know everybody has their own favorite bad movie, and it's kind of a question of personal taste, but that one, I watched from when I was a kid, and the reason I made such a big deal about it was it hasn't been on TV in years, so I was really excited about it, so I'm really glad you watched it, because it's truly a wonderful thing.
Yeah, I'd never heard of it.
Yeah.
And it's one of these things that... I'm almost curious to go looking through some of the filmographies of some of the actors and see if they've erased it from them, because I've looked them up. I've never seen it.
It's a lot of God rest their souls, a lot of the people that aren't with us anymore. But, Tony Bennett, I think he maybe jokes about it a little bit, but if I were around Tony Bennett, I probably wouldn't bring it up.
No, probably not. He was probably, and actually, what's funny is he's probably one of the best in the whole movie.
Yeah.
I thought some of my favorite scenes were the scenes with him.
Yeah, he's amazing in it, you know. I mean, I think he just kind of real. I mean, the movie was a big flop when it came out, so I think he just decided that acting wasn't his thing, and he just went back to singing, and thank God for that, because
he's
just a great singer. You know?
Oh, yeah, sure. No, that was fun. The favorite scene is probably in the end when he's sure he's got everything that he's been working for, and they call the other guy, and his reaction is pure gold.
His name is Frankie Thane in the movie.
Frankie Thane, yep.
And the winner is Frank, and he stands
up. Sinatra!
It's just a great moment, you know. If only real life Oscar ceremonies were like that, they'd be much better.
Oh, that would be hysterical. All right, moving on, and speaking of bad movies, we got to talk a little bit about MST.
Sure.
You signed on with MST. You appeared on camera on the second season?
Yeah, I actually was hired. If you go back to the KTMA, if you consider the KTMA episode, the first season, which it was, you know, they did 20 episodes, but that was before they sold it to... Comedy Central, which was the Comedy Channel
right
then. And the first season on the Comedy Channel was their second season, and so I came along the second season on the Comedy Channel, which would have been the third. So I'm making it way more complicated. But I came the second season of when it was on the Comedy Channel. I was originally hired as a writer, and then they
I was going to ask you if you had signed on earlier in, like, the previous season as any kind of a writing staff and then moved on to the camera that was...
No, I didn't. You know, I knew about the show, and, I was friends with all those guys. We were all stand-up comedians in Minneapolis, and so I knew they were doing it, and I saw it, you know, and I really liked it, but it really kind of... was a great, it wasn't anything I was expecting that I'd get hired to do it, to be honest, but when an opening came up, you know, they called me up and asked me, and I was thrilled, of course. So that was, I guess, in like 1990.
Yeah, can you believe that?
Mm-hmm.
It's been that long ago, I know.
That's right.
Right. Yeah, I remember at the time when you decided to leave, I was getting the satellite news, the fan newsletter, and the part that I remember that I thought was fun, I wanted to ask you about. In the very end, you asked everyone that, you know, if we would see you on the street or see you someday, to just know that you did what you thought was right, and be polite when you ask, do you want fries with that?
Exactly.
So I'm hoping things went better for you than that in your prediction.
Things did go better, fortunately. I think that was a common thing, like, Mike Nelson also, he had right before he started on Mystery Science Theater, he had been working at TGI Fridays. And not too long before I was there, I had worked at Arby's. So, you know, we always had this sense that we were just kind of, you know, we understood how lucky we were. And I think we had this kind of being, I think both of us having a very pessimistic streak in our natures, you know. We all had the sense that we were just a couple of steps from having to go back to working in the
fast food industry.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. You actually went on. You did some writing and appeared a couple times on. It was the I know one of the series was Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yeah, I was at Sabrina for four years, and I appeared on I think three episodes as different characters.
Mm-hmm.
And Joel was actually there the first year that I was there. He was like the magic consultant.
Oh, okay.
On the show, and he helped them figure out, you know, doing like low tech special effects, which Joel is very good at.
Mm-hmm.
So he was, and he actually, I think, kind of helped me get that job. he recommended me for it.
So now you are involved in the cinematic Titanic.
That's right.
Congratulations on the you just released Doomsday Machine as your second release. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's our second release, and apparently it's selling very well. So we're very very excited and grateful about that. We have Doomsday Machine and two other episodes that we've already made, and then we're preparing to do three or four more before the summer is over. So.
Oh, great! So you have a little bit
and
more
also,
of a flow.
Yeah, and also we're going to hopefully do a lot more live shows. We just did a live show Saturday night at the John Anson Ford Theater in Hollywood,
mm-hmm.
And it was awesome. We had a great experience. It was a really great audience, and so we're going to be doing more of that kind of stuff. So, but,
excellent.
You know, we're still very new. You know, we're still just getting off the ground, but we're having a lot of fun in the process.
Oh, excellent. Well, tell me a little bit how it got off the ground, how it all began.
Well, it all began around, it was around this time last year, I think, was when Joel was thinking about it. And what was happening was, you know, I think there was suddenly an awareness that the 20th anniversary of Mystery Science Theater was coming up. And I think Joel initially wanted to do, you know, new episodes of Mystery Science Theater, and he went to either Jim Mallon approached him or he approached Jim Mallon, and they talked about it for a while, but they couldn't really come to terms with it. And
mm-hmm.
and so he had this other concept, you know, and he told me about it. He told Trace about it, and Josh and Mary Jo, and we all got very excited about it, and we just all started doing it. You know, we just started our own business, you know.
Excellent. Well, there's certainly a void that needs to be filled since Mystery Science Theater. I'm amazed how many people I talk to that you think you're the only one that's ever seen the show or knows about
right.
the show, because it was usually on late at night on Comedy Central or Sci-Fi Channel. So then you meet people, oh, I love that show. there's so many people out there.
It's actually, and that was one of the things, you know, Joel and I started talking about last year, was we were really struck by how often people were coming up to us and telling us how much they love the show. And, you know, it seemed like there was a whole new generation of fans now, that some of whom I'm a little scared to say, I don't even think we're born when the show was first doing it, you know. And I know, like, when I perform in L.A. and, like, I go to the UCB Theater to do shows sometimes, and after the shows, all these like really young people come up to me and tell me how much they like Mystery Science Theater. So, and also, you know, a lot of people, you know, in a lot of writers and people like that who, you know, who actually have told Joel, you know, Mystery Science Theater was what, you know, inspired me to become a writer, to pursue this path, you know. So it was just, we were very struck by all that, and it just seems like history has really been kind to the show, you know. So we were really kind of overwhelmed by that, and we just kind of got into the spirit of, you know, of getting back into riffing on movies again, and we're having a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah. Well,
another thing too is that you know, we make fun of these really bad movies, and they are really bad, but there's also an affection that you end up having for them, you know, because the movies are very unique in their own way, and and a lot of the kind of low-budget sci-fi horror movies that we do that were made in the 60s, 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, that was what independent cinema was in those days, you know.
Right.
A lot of it was really made outside of the system, and it's not to say that it was high-quality stuff, but you do, like, you know, for instance, when you know, I love Ed Wood movies, you know, because they're so distinctive and they really have a flavor of their own, and you really kind of get a glimpse into Ed Wood's soul, you know, which might be a disturbing thing.
Yeah.
Still, you know, it's still very, in its own way, it's very personal filmmaking, and, you know, I would much rather watch an Ed Wood movie or something else like that, or something like Manos, the Hands of Fate, than a lot of the, you know, mainstream, really professionally made movies that come out now that have all the great technical qualities, have great special effects.
Right.
You know, everything is top drawer in terms of what they can pay for to put on screen, but it misses that essential element of kind of a soulfulness that I think that, you know, that I get from a lot of these really bad low budget movies. And So, you know, we're making fun of them, but it's kind of, a lot of it is just coming from a place of affection. And you know, it's like you mentioned the Oscar. I mean, the Oscar, it's a horrible movie, but nobody can deny how entertaining it is.
Yeah, it was extremely entertaining.
So in that sense, it's a very wonderful thing.
Right. Yeah, I've tried to explain it to other people. Just recently, actually, on our website, I even tried to explain, you know, my love for bad sci-fi and
right.
horror movies, and that there is a certain, I guess I've never used the word, but it does fit best as soul, is, you know, it's not the Spielberg just throwing, you know, in a studio throwing millions of dollars and everyone comes and does their job.
Right,
they're done by someone who believed in what they're doing. They believed in the story.
Yeah.
And that comes through. Even if the movie's terrible, you know,
yeah,
that they were trying their best.
Well, the essential, you know, element for any bad movie to work as a movie to be riffed on is sincerity on the part of the filmmakers and the actors. Those are the best movies to give that kind of treatment to. The ones that where they're kind of winking at you and they're kind of in on the joke,
right.
You know, those don't work at all, you know. Any bad movie, whether it's Manos or an Ed Wood movie or the Oscar or Showgirls, or what makes it hilarious is the sincerity on the part of the filmmakers, is that they really mean it, you know.
Right.
They really think they're putting something across. And that's where all the great comedy comes from.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Well, Frank, I take it from now on you're going to be pretty busy with Cinematic Titanic.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, like I said, we're just gearing up now to probably do 3 or 4 more episodes before the summer is done, and we have some big appearances coming up. We're doing a big Mystery Science Theater reunion at Comic-Con in San Diego.
Oh, fantastic.
And then we're also doing a show in October at the State Theater in Minneapolis. So we're really looking forward to that. And I think Joel, Trace, and I are going to be at Dragon Con in Atlanta.
Oh, fantastic.
In August, yeah. So, and there'll probably be announcements coming up of more of those type of things coming up, because we really are enjoying doing the live shows and getting out there and meeting the fans and stuff. So we're definitely going to do as much of that stuff as
Great.
We can.
And all the news for that, you can find it at the Cinematic Titanic website.
CinematicTitanic.com, absolutely.
Excellent. Well, I encourage everyone to check it out and download often. Frank, thanks very much for giving us some time tonight.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you. I enjoyed it a lot.
All right. Well, thank you again, and good luck.
Okay, you too. Take care.
All right, bye.
Bye.
That was Frank Goniff, one of the stars of the new Cinematic Titanic. I encourage everyone to go over to CinematicTitanic.com and check him out. And as always, stop by at Jonja.net.